Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find Big Storm Beer near you. It's Florida's best craft beer. It's in Publix. The Bromosa, their tangerine IPA, is the top seller. It is fantastic. So many great beers from Big Storm Beer. Tap rooms in Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, and at the Amway Center in Orlando. Great food, great beer. Ira watches every road game with Bucks fans at the Clearwater Tap Room. Beautiful outdoor covered patio. Big Storm Beer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. The king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. We're happy to have you here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is going to join us later. And Sage, all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. You drive a 2020 Ford Escape, cherry red. You love that thing. You love it at Bill Curry Ford. And everyone, not just you and me, Ira, everyone can get personal service at Bill Curry Ford from the GM himself, the big boss, Sean Sullivan. He's ready to help you in person, on the phone. You could email him. His email's right there at BillCurryFord.com, where you can start shopping online. And you can check out the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer. Buy it in Publix. Buy it near you and find where at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com, four locations in the area, including the flagship in Clearwater, where the Sage watches every Bucks road game with fans on the beautiful outdoor patio or inside. Gorgeous covered patio, Big Storm Brewery. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Any disaster in your home, fire, wind, mold, flood, whatever it is, you call them first, immediately, 24/7. They're going to come out to you if you want them to and give you a free assessment of the damage and what it will take to get it right in a hurry. Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, crazy week so far. We're not done yet. Tom Brady's going to be coming out for a rare Saturday news conference. Crazy week so far, Ira. Second podcast of the week. You know what's going on with this Antonio Brown situation. You wrote a column about it with some really strong stuff in there, Ira. I had to read it twice. I wasn't sure I agreed with everything. That lets you know it's a good column. What are your thoughts on where we are in the state of the Bucks right now, Ira?
Stevie, a very mixed bag type of week for Buck Nation. And by that I mean the injury report looks promising. On the field looks promising. We got a little Murphy bunting action. Gronkowski sounds like he's coming back. JPP practiced a little more than usual this week. Maybe that means he's feeling a little bit better. I still want to see it on the field. So, Steve, that's all positive. And, of course, Gronkowski makes a big, big difference in the red zone. There's no question about it. He is Brady's go-to guy. Then we have the Brown affair. Steve, one of the first things I thought about when I read the Tampa Bay Times report, and you might not have even alluded to this in your mind, but I believe you asked maybe at the end of training camp, Steve, or very early in the season, you asked Lee and I, hey, guys, you think there's going to be a problem at all with attitude or anything involving Antonio Brown? Is there going to be any kind of issues surrounding Antonio Brown in 2021? And, Steve, I believe all three of us said, yeah, there's going to be something. Now, they only had him for half a year last season. One of the main points is when he plays, arguably, Steve, he's been the Buck best receiver this year. You could make that argument. I mean, you really could. He's averaging over 80 yards a game. That's a big number. Problem is he hasn't been active for a while. So now we have the Brown affair. Steve, if you saw Arians' news conference today, and I know you're aware of it, he's not a happy camper. He's got to be thinking in private, his conversations with Jason Light behind closed doors, things he'll never say in front of a podium. He's pissed off. He's absolutely pissed off. And Steve, look at it this way. A team that, by Arians' judgment, lost their focus in Washington. It was an unfocused group that went to the nation's capital and played for about 8 minutes out of 60. And now you've got a distraction. And no matter how much Arians wants to tell Jenna Lane, you know, and Greg Allman, that this has no impact at all on the Giants game Monday night. That's wishful thinking, Steve. He doesn't know what's going through the minds of his players. Light and Arians had to be talked into, you know, signing Brown. Arians was dead set against it, Steve. It's public, it's well documented. This is not speculation. He wanted no part of Antonio Brown, and he knows Antonio Brown. He dealt with Antonio Brown. He did not want him. He got by last year. He won a Super Bowl. Brown was a part of it. He's been good on the field this year. But now nobody knows who to believe in this story. And who knows when we'll get to the bottom of it. And the guy that I think's on the spot is the guy in the center, Tom Brady, the guy who vouched for Antonio Brown and single-handedly, Steve, made him a Buccaneer.
You got a lot of interesting stuff in there, Sage. First, how is it a distraction when Brown wasn't going to play anyway? You know, I mean, he wasn't playing. The guy's hurt. He may not be back for another month at least. I don't know how that's really a distraction unless the Bucs really do have a phony vaccine card problem and you've got maybe six guys wondering, are they going to catch up to me? Are they making the call to Publix this week or wherever I said I got my vaccine? So that could be an issue. But I think in general, just because of this, is this really a distraction? If everybody is legitimately vaccinated, forget about Brown. If everybody else is, why would they care? You know, Brown's not even out there. So I don't know about that part of it. And I guess you could argue Brady, you know, vouched for Brown and all that, but it worked out. They won a Super Bowl. The guy caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He was, you know, maybe they could have won everything without him, but he was an important figure. Nobody took more targets per game played last year than Antonio Brown. I mean, hey, we got a Super Bowl. We got a year out of him. I don't know, Ira. I don't know how big of a deal we're making this. But obviously the NFL, if they really care, and I'm not sure they do, they could round up all the vaccine cards from the Bucks and say, hey, we're going to have one of our people verify them all. And if we have a problem, we'll let you know. And if we really have a problem, we'll probably do it with every team in the league. You know, and I would suspect that a percentage of these guys have phony vaccine cards just because they would reflect the rest of society and the percentage of people who will do anything, even put their jobs on the line to not get a vaccine.
Well, Steve, I think you're being a little naive to suggest that this may not be a distraction in any manner. I don't know if it's a giant distraction, but it's something that takes your mind away from football. If you are fully vaccinated and now you have reason to believe that Brown faked his way through it, now you can't trust Brown going forward. That could be a problem as the season goes on, and if Brown's injury heals up well enough for him to play, we don't know. The relationship could be frayed between Brown and his teammates. We don't know. We're not sure. But, you know, he's in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Again, trouble follows this guy, and Steve, you could make the argument that they need him in January. They need Antonio Brown. They're a better offense with Antonio Brown. We don't know, you know, if the league investigation or whatever could determine rather quickly that he's under suspension. So, Steve, my point is, don't forget that Arian stood in front of the microphones, proud as he could be, Steve. You remember that day. Must have been training camp. We are 100% fully vaccinated. We're good. It's all behind us, 100%. And now, when Arians hits that pillow, Steve, he's not really sure that that's true. And he was out there saying it, and he doesn't know if Brown's going to make him a liar.
I guess it could be a distraction for Arians, so I guess that's something. You know, or the coaching staff. I don't know, Ira. I'm just, with Brown being out of the mix, I don't know. I can't buy it yet, but it certainly could be a problem later. And it is kind of wacky, though. It sounds like one of the strangest shakedown attempts ever for not a lot of money. Apparently, Brown had paid this guy like $45,000 to be his chef and owed him some more, another $10,000. And the guy left and Brown got upset. And, you know, Brown has a habit of not paying people. I don't know. Whole thing is a little bit goofy, Ira. Apparently, this chef was earning $750 a day. Ira's, I can imagine how many, Big Storm Cubans you could order for $750 a day. It would be stunning, Ira.
I'll chop up a nice salad for $1.50, Stevie.
Yeah, you could be his personal chef. We know that you're the master of the avocado, and you know how to pick those out. You slice them up. You make that great salad that you talked about with the strange beans in it. It's fantastic. All right, Lee, what is your overall takeaway, your biggest walk away here after all the twists and turns of this Antonio Brown saga?
I've got all kinds of things to say, but I'll try to keep them all very short. 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know if the Times even touches this. I really don't. Because they like to pride themselves, or at least they used to like to pride themselves, as sort of the New York Times of Florida. And this would be way beneath them. This would be too TMZ, too tabloidish. And so I don't even think 4 or 5 years ago they touch it, especially not the guy who wrote it. Times have changed. Their finances have changed, more importantly. That was my very first takeaway. Like, wow, the Times wrote something like this? The second thing is, I never in my life thought I would refer to a guy with the job title, self-glossed, by the way, as sex tape broker. I never thought I would write that, never thought I would hear it, certainly never in regards to the Bucks, which is why I like Antonio Brown and guys like that. They bring a different dimension to the team and liven things up. And I was doing some research last night on this guy, and apparently he's something of an expert with celebrity sex tapes, and he appeared on some show to suggest that, yes, I can validate Meghan Markle has a sex tape. I've seen the tape. I can't imagine we're talking about this. So this is the kind of guy we're talking about. And apparently he also was an expert in some sort of sordid affair about Oscar De La Hoya has a sex tape. And yes, I can validate it. I've seen the tape. So I guess this guy, that's what he does for a living. He watches celebrity sex tapes. I don't know.
Ira's got one too, but no, nobody paid him any money for it.
I can understand that. But here's the quick thing about this, and I'll go ahead and say it. I didn't write it. I kind of hinted it in one of my stories. This ex-chef, Brown owes him $10,000. He's one of many, many, many people Brown owes money to, allegedly. And apparently this guy, he was tight with Brown's model girlfriend. That, by the way, adds another element to his model girlfriend. Given who he's dealing with, of all the lawyers in America that would have probably taken this pro bono, hey, I'll stick up for you. I'll try to squeeze some money out of somebody, try to get you paid. I'll do it for free. It's notoriety. I'll get my name out there. And he goes to a sex tape broker. I'm starting to think he's got a video of Brown and his girlfriend.
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they're longtime friends. Who knows?
I'm willing to bet either this guy has a video of Brown and his girlfriend or something other lurid. You know, let people's imagination run wild. And or this guy, and I did write this in a story on JoeBucksFan.com, this guy is trying to sell, with the help of a sex tape broker, trying to sell some sort of sleazy documentary for Netflix, for Apple TV, Amazon, E-Network, whatever, trying to sell some sleazy documentary about the lurid lifestyle of an NFL star. I just can't imagine, if you're trying to get 10 grand that's owed you, why would you go to a quote-unquote sex tape broker? There's something else behind this. It's not just the 10 grand.
All right. Yeah, I never thought of it quite that way, but you just never know. I have no idea. How does this end, Lee?
Yeah, I don't know if he's guilty. I don't know if he's innocent. You know, the NFL's already got its fingers involved. They are already investigating it. And Bucks fans are like, what are you writing about? This has nothing to do with the – it very much does have to do with the Bucks on the field. Because if the NFL finds out this guy doctored or is using a fake V-card, that goes the personal conduct policy, which Brown is a multiple times offender, he very easily could be suspended for the rest of the year. And, oh, by the way, the Bucks are 5-0 with him, 1-3 without him.
You know, they are 6-3. They are in charge of their own destiny in terms of the division, which is goal number one, get a home playoff game. They got a lot of work to do if they want to get that number one seed, and only the number one seed gets the bye week. Steve, the rules have changed starting last year. But you could argue the Bucks have also proven they can go the road route and still hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Steve, I'm just looking for a good performance against the Giants, who are not very good. But we said the same thing about Washington. And, Steve, judging from the comments, and you read everything, even more than I do, whether it's Devin White, Shaq Barrett, there's a suggestion that not everybody is playing as hard as a group. Not everybody in that group is putting out the same effort, and that's a little worrisome, Mr. Isbitz.
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, I can't overblow it. Let's see what happens this week. Like I said, I didn't really see anybody loafing. I guess the collective energy wasn't what they were looking for, whatever that means. You know, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they've played games this year where they won, and nobody would have said the energy wasn't good all the way through. You win, but I'm not too crazy about that, Ira. But you did mention JPP, and I thought it was interesting this week. He had some very candid comments, as always JPP does. He said that last week, when he was continuing the Arians sort of edict, which was don't practice, just get yourself ready for game day, rest up and you know, play on game day, JPP said that he didn't like that, that he got out there and he got hit against Washington for the first time, and he was like, whoa, I feel like I didn't practice all week. This getting hit, this isn't right, doesn't feel right. And, of course, he was one of the guys who didn't play with the usual fire that you see, and he was ineffective. And this week he's been practicing. He said that even though I'm in pain, I got to feel it in practice. He's just going to ride until the wheels fall off, he said. And some days he feels worse, some days it doesn't. But he feels like he has to practice if he's going to even be successful on Sunday. I don't even know what to make of all that, but it doesn't sound good for JPP making it all the way to February, which is when we really need him.
This new stance of JPP, it's so impressive in this respect. He could take the easy way out, Steve. He could take Arian's advice, lull himself to sleep between Monday and Saturday, suit up, and he's going to play 70% of the snaps on Sunday, whether he's effective or not. That's been the case for the last couple of weeks. He could go that way, Steve, but no. Once again, we see an exhibition of the incredible pride, the craft of JPP. He's not happy with the way he played. I jumped on him. I watched him a lot. So did you, Steve, in the Washington game. He had no push. He was no factor. On a day that Devin White was everywhere, he was nowhere. And it bothers him. Of course it bothers him. He's got a very accomplished career. And, Steve, if he wants to practice and thinks that'll help him, I'm all ears. So I'm going to watch him Monday night carefully. I'm going to the game. I got my binoculars. I'll be on number 90. Steve, if he ever wants to have an outstanding game, it's against the Giants. A little extra motivation for number 90. I'm expecting a better effort. But, Steve, I'll tell you this. I'll watch the first quarter, as will Todd Bowles. If I'm not seeing any improvement, I'm yanking him, and I'm putting Tryon in so he gets 70% of the snaps, and I want to see what the kid can do. I'm not going to go the whole game with JPP at half speed. I'm not doing that. But I like the fact that he's switching things up. He's going against his own head coach's suggestion, not order, but suggestion, and let's see what happens. But I salute JPP's new posture about this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sage, of course, everyone's listening, courtesy of Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Get over there. Holiday pricing is in effect. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. GM Sean Sullivan is awaiting your call and your email with any question you need. He'll help you. Whatever that help is, he will help you and that includes the Ira Kaufman discount. Sage, when I have a problem in my house, I'm calling Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, immediately. I'm not messing around. 24/7, you can call them. They'll respond very quickly, get you that free assessment. They'll come out and check out your flood and see how they can, you know, get things right immediately and work with your insurance company if necessary so you don't get ripped off. If you got mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. So Sage, property managers, plumbers, air conditioning contractors, they reach out to Josh Martin and they say, hey, how can we work with you to best service our customers? Because we encounter this stuff. And he works with them and he's honest. And it's a great situation for real service given to people all across the Tampa Bay area and businesses. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, have you been texting with Josh? Have you been trying to console him for these Bucks losses?
Well, I'm going to Publix later today. Maybe I run into him. Steve, I'll give you an example.
Was he working Publix or something?
No, but we frequent the same one. But
okay.
Steve, we were gone for a week, and we come in, and I open the front door. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And the first thing I'm checking is for water. I want to see, is there a leak? I go in the bedrooms. I go in the bathroom. I go in the garage. Did I spring a leak while I was gone? That is your number one concern. And it could lead to a lot of problems, especially here in the state of Florida. High humidity, mildew, mold. Florida's Elite Restoration. They will give you peace of mind. Most of the time, it's not a major deal, but you need to know that from honest brokers, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Impact for this game against the Giants. Rob Gronkowski looks, all signs say he's coming back, practicing in full. They even rolled him out there for a news conference. He's looking good. He looks happy. And Sean Murphy bunting, Arian said in practice this week, he's been looking good in press coverage, has a couple of picks. I mean, gosh, there's nothing wrong with his legs. We know that. So it sounds like he's got to be out there, don't you think?
You would think so, Steve. Of course, the big one for me is Carlton Davis. Get him back out there. Is he Jalen Ramsey? Who cares? I mean, there's only one Jalen Ramsey. But he's the best Bucks got. He's the best, and by quite a margin, in my mind. As long as you're not telling him to cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one. So I'm waiting for Davis. I'll tell you who I think Brady's going to go to early and often. And that's Mike Evans. I think they wasted Mike Evans for a good portion of the Washington game. You know my feelings about throwing deep balls. They didn't do it until the very end. And it was a situation where he was covered one-on-one. I don't like it where a team's playing two deep safeties and then you say, I can't throw the ball deep. I don't like that. The Chiefs are finding a ways. They did it. The Chiefs did against the Raiders. And, of course, that's the way everybody's playing the Mahomes right now. We're not going to get beat over the top. Well, he threw a lot of deep balls. And, you know, he didn't throw for 173 yards against the Raiders. He had a big game. And Brady should be able to figure out how to exploit those two deep safeties without throwing five-yard balls to Leonard Fournette. And Fournette's been playing very well. Steve, did he shake a single defender after catching any one of those eight balls? I mean, any of them?
He ran a couple guys over, but he looked a little more sluggish than usual. You know, it's sort of a mixed bag.
I get you.
Ira, a little bit of a nuance from Byron Leftwich this week. He talked about Breshad Perriman coming in and talked about how Perriman, maybe it was just me that it struck with, but you know, we talked so much last year about how the offense was going to change, and then Arians was like, we're not changing the offense because we're not going to change the offense for 10 guys when Tom Brady can come in here and learn all the lingo and the plays and all that. And Leftwich was talking about Perriman joining the team. He said, even though it was some of the stuff was similar to 2019, it's not similar at all, which I was like, well, what are you talking about? Is that evidence that there really has been a lot of change in this offense? Maybe ongoing change since Brady got here.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, as if we needed another example of how this offense has morphed since Byron Leftwich came in with Arians in 2019. It all changed, you know, in March of 2020 when Brady came aboard, and then it evolved last season and continued this season. And what's the evolution, Steve? What's the common theme? We're going to do what Brady likes to do. We're going to do what Brady's effective at. And why wouldn't you do that? Jason Garrett just said in an interview, Steve, if the NFL ever built a Mount Rushmore, Brady would be the face of it. He'd be the first guy on the mount. Jason Garrett's been around. He's seen a lot of great players in this league. And how can you not tailor your offense to Tom Brady? Do what you want with the nomenclature, but I'm talking about the X's and O's. Eventually, you have to come to the conclusion, Brady carries this team. As Brady goes, we go. And that's just the way it is. Nobody should argue with that. You're not going to put in plays that Brady's not comfortable in. You're just not going to do it. As far as Perriman's concerned, Steve, you got to remember one thing. He has no relationship with Brady. And it took till the very end of that season, Steve, right? 2019, when Perriman was very effective over the last five or six games, but he had been on the team. Here, Brady's got no timing relationship with Perriman. It's still a work in progress. So they're going to have to work on that. Maybe by January, Perriman could be a force, especially if Brown is not involved and is not available. We shall see. But I think Mike Evans is going to catch a lot of balls or at least get a lot of targets. If I'm the Giants' defensive coordinator, I'm focusing on Mike Evans.
Yeah, I wasn't even implying that Perriman needs to play a lot. I just was talking about the offense itself, Leftwich saying that, hey, he had a lot to learn. I mean, we heard when Antonio Brown got here, oh, he knows all the concepts from when we were in Pittsburgh together. No big deal. Very easy for him. Sort of a little bit of a clashing scene there. But just wanted to get your opinion, Ira. You said something about Murphy Bunting. You sort of brushed off Murphy Bunting and said you're waiting for Carlton Davis. Are you sort of feeling like if Murphy Bunting plays and his legs are good, which they should be, and he plays on Monday night, are you saying that he's not going to be a huge upgrade from Richard Sherman or Pierre Desir or the guys that have been out there?
I am not saying that because he's a little bit better player than I thought he was, Steve. He seems to be in the right place at the right time. You break him down on film, maybe his technique's not perfect or whatever, but yeah, he is an upgrade, Steve, and it would help, but he's not as good as Carlton Davis, and I don't think Kevin Ross would say that. I think he'd agree with me. Davis is the best they got, but I will not argue with you that the appearance of Bunting will help perhaps considerably.
All right, Lee, of all the players talking this week, and we heard the assistant coaches. Of course, Arians chimed in a couple of times and sort of got an extra day's worth of Arians as well with this Monday night kind of week. Any big things stand out as far as comments coming out of One Buck that you think the fans need to take a deeper look at?
I didn't really get anything so much out of the players, and I don't often do that, you know, especially in these pandemic times when we don't have access to guys one-on-one. You know, speaking cliches. So I never really got anything out of it outside of Donovan Smith. I like what Donovan Smith said. For whatever reason, he still has his haters out there. And I loved what he said. You know, Brady took one hit. To me, that's a good day. And he's right. If your quarterback only gets hit once in a game, you're doing something right. I love that comment. But other than that, I really didn't get anything out of it. I got more out of Arians on Rich Eisen's show. Where he was talking, the way he spoke on Eisen's show, it sounds like within the next 2 to 3 weeks, they're going to be at full strength. He was talking about Carlton Davis is about ready to return. He was talking about Antonio Brown is about ready to return, notwithstanding the nonsense the NFL's involvement now. He acted like Antonio Brown might be available at Indianapolis a week from Sunday. He said Scotty Miller Monday night will likely be a game-time decision. So clearly there's a chance Scotty Miller could be active. He talked like Sean Murphy Bunting might play. He was very chipper and positive about Gronk possibly playing. And that has to be a relief for all Bucks fans. Like I wrote in a story on Saturday, the cavalry is coming.
Yeah, he sure was upbeat on Rich Eisen's show. And, you know, what smells like we're going to see at least half of that on Monday with Gronk and Murphy Bunting. Especially after he said Murphy Bunting is, he liked the way he was playing press coverage and caught a couple of interceptions in practice this week. Well, what else is there? I mean, the guy didn't injure his legs. If he can catch the ball and he can use his arms, away we go. So that would be a nice upgrade from Pierre Desir, you know, of course, Gronk, given that the tight ends really have done a whole lot of nothing without him, Gronk would be quite an upgrade, and especially if it gives Brady a little more confidence, a little more juice, because we're not really even sure what Brady was doing last week when one hit seemed to fluster him. So, you know, it was just one of those weeks where we have to play wait and see. You know, they're going to do their talking on the field, a nice commanding win against the Giants. You know, not one of these weird wins, just, you know, hey, okay, they're up a touchdown at halftime, and then a win by two scores would be quite a soothing tonic for everybody involved.
Oh, yeah. You know, right now I just hope to get a win. I don't care if it looks pretty, just as long as they get a win. Scoreboard, baby. Hey, real quick, I got another thing to add about the Antonio Brown V-card mess.
Sure.
Obviously, we're recording this before Brady speaks. He's scheduled to speak on Saturday. I wonder what Brown's former landlord will have to say about this. Remember how he vouched for Brown? Ira wrote about it in his column. You know, it's on me. If he does something stupid, it's on me. So I wonder what his former landlord is going to say about this.
I have a feeling he'll say a whole lot of nothing. And, you know, like, Lee, through the magic of editing, you're jumping in. I had just told Ira, Brady said he'd vouch for Brown, but I look at it as it's already worked. He vouched for him. They won a Super Bowl. It's all gravy at this point. He got the job done. It made sense. It worked out. He was a top target late last season. So I think Brady's kind of covered. If this had happened last year, it would be a different story.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. The Bucs got the Super Bowl. So everything after that they're getting with Brown is gravy. It's a very good point.
Hopefully we see a very interesting video from Brown on Instagram soon to kick this whole thing up a notch.
Where would we be without social media?
Do the Bucs have a Pro Bowler this year, Ira? After Tom Brady, who's obviously leading the league in touchdowns, you think they got a Pro Bowler?
I don't believe they do, Steve. I hear a lot about Marpet. Wurfs has been solid, not quite as good as his rookie season. Devin White is a no. Shaq Barrett is a no. Antoine Winfield's a no. Leonard Fournette's a no. Evans, Godwin, probably not, Steve. Being brutally honest, I think Brady is their representative. I think Brady is playing at a Pro Bowl level, and I expect a big game out of him Monday night. But I'll say Brady stands alone in Buck Nation.
Interesting, Ira. Interesting. Obviously, plenty of time to go. A couple of big games by any of those guys that you mentioned. You know, that could change things. But interesting to hear you say that. Does it surprise you, Ira, that Devin White, no player in the NFL has blitzed more this season than Devin White? And does that give you a different perspective on his numbers?
Going into the Washington game, Steve, I was thinking that the Bucs are not getting the bang for their buck in terms of being the most prolific blitzing defense in football, which they are by a considerable margin over the next NFC team, which is Washington. Big, big gap. One team at 40%, one team at 32%. I'm wondering whether they use Devin White in blitz situations in a different manner in the nation's capital, because he was a lot more effective. And Steve, as I mentioned on the previous podcast, besides the two sacks, I thought he was all over Heinicke on several other occasions. And Heinicke either threw the ball away or had to make a pass in a tight window under duress, which he did. I mean, let's face it, just like he did in that playoff game. Heinicke played a very strong game against this Buck defense for whatever reason. Against everybody else, the guy looks like Cade McCown. So I don't quite understand that. But until last week, Devin White was not an effective blitzer, Steve. Any way you slice it up, he was not effective. He wasn't getting home. And I don't think he was getting close enough to really get the quarterback off the spot. But a lot of things changed Sunday. I wish every other guy on that Buck defense played with the ferocity of Devin White on Sunday.
Well, the stat guys would start quoting pressures and hurries and all that, and they'd tell you White's been doing a good job. But those are very subjective in a lot of ways. And I know what you're saying, Ira. It was nice to see the what it finally appeared to be the old Devin White. And I was just curious to see if you thought his totals, which are way up from last year as far as blitzing, were going to stand out to you. But, yeah, they got to get more out of him, and that may be the best way to do it because, you know, we know he's not the greatest in coverage, and if teams aren't going to run the ball, but they have been doing that the last couple of weeks. Do you feel any – we're going to see any drop-off from Vita Vea? You know, obviously the Bucs were fine last year without him, and we know he's super talented. We've seen what he can do. He also only plays half the snaps. And on that critical drive last week, Ira, after our podcast, I added up the numbers. 19 plays, Vita Vea was on the sidelines for 9 of them, including on first and goal and second and goal. So, it might have been second and goal and third and goal. So, I don't know. The usage, it continues to be a little bit of a mystery, but as far as him being out of the lineup and them going to Nacho, Raheem Nunez-Roches, what are your thoughts there?
Well, Steve, that 9 out of 19 percentage, it's a little strange because, Steve, let's face it, Washington had the lead, and they were in a run mode. It wasn't like they were trying to catch the Bucks at that point. They were ahead. They were trying to eat up clock, which they did in an incredible manner. So if a team's in a run mode, you don't have Vita Vea in there. It's a little strange. It was the end of the game. Maybe he was a little gassed. Washington had a lot of snaps on the afternoon, even before that 19-play drive. Steve, let's be honest. The theory is, in the back of everybody's mind, you know, we got to have this guy right for the stretch drive, for the games that really matter. Yeah, each game means the same. You don't want to be a 3-game losing streak, but shouldn't they still beat the Giants? I think that's the mindset. But they got to get everybody playing hard. Boy, I go back to that Monty Kiffin thing, Steve, when they used to show the film on Monday, even after a Buck win with that great defense. And Kiffin would break that film down in front of everybody, and he'd look for loafs. I'm looking for loafs. If I see a loaf, I'm going to call you out. I don't care if it's Sapp, Lynch, Barber, Brooks, Rice. I'm calling you out. And that's the thing that drove Kiffin crazy. And, Steve, I'm not sure Kiffin could have got through the Washington game based on what I'm hearing from the Buck coaching staff.
Ira, before we get to your prediction for Monday night's game, got to ask you this. Do you think we're going to see Ronald Jones, or do you not necessarily buy that Bruce Arians couldn't find a snap for him because they didn't have enough time of possession 40-plus snaps last game? So what do you think? You think we get a dose of Rojo here, or it's more of, hey, you're just getting a few snaps and we just didn't want to say anything publicly?
You got to wonder what's going through the mind of Ronald Jones. He's probably feeling like Leonard Fournette felt midway, two-thirds through last season. I don't know if his mind's right. Arians might have to have a little talk with Ronald Jones, a little inspirational chat like he had with Fournette. Because, Steve, Ronald Jones is not known for being the most mentally tough guy in the world in terms of confidence. He's not. And now, he doesn't get a touch. Steve, he doesn't get a touch. Yeah, they didn't get a lot of snaps. I understand that. But he could have caught some of those balls, those little 5 yards over the middle that Leonard Fournette was catching. And he might have broken a couple. I think he's a better open field runner than Leonard Fournette is. What is going on with Ronald Jones? You never know if something's going on behind the scenes. Maybe he's in the doghouse. Arians won't say it, even if he is. I want to see a little Ronald Jones Monday night. In fact, I want to see a lot of Ronald Jones. Turn Ronald Jones loose. Let's see what he's doing. Fournette's cooled off a little bit. He had a heck of a stretch going. And let's see this two-headed monster be resurrected Monday night.
Yeah, it's another thing to watch for. All right, Ira, your prediction for the game. We got to hear it. Sage, you know the situation with the Giants. Saquon Barkley is a maybe. Sterling Shepard appears to be out with games he's missed. He's still got the most targets from Daniel Jones. They still don't have their left tackle back. He's a maybe as well. Where do you think the Giants are coming off their bye week? Obviously, a game of the year for them. Their season's on the line at 3-6.
I'm in a terrible slump. I picked the Eagles to beat the Bucks. What the hell was I thinking? I picked the Bucks to beat the Saints. They self-destructed. I picked the Bucks to beat Washington. They were outplayed. I'm in a funk right now, Stevie. I need a little help. My clinging hope is they're 4-0 at home. That's got to mean something. They've established home field advantage. They score a lot of points at home. Now, it helps when a safety returns two picks for touchdowns. That helps, but that's only two touchdowns. Giant defense is mediocre. Giant offensive line, I think, is in bad shape. I think the Buck pass rush should do well against Daniel Jones, who is mobile, Steve. But they shut down Jalen Hurts for three quarters. He did nothing against the Bucs while the Bucs wielded a big lead in Philly. And Jones doesn't run any better than Hurts does. So, all in all, yeah, the Giants are desperate. But there's a little desperation on the home side, too. John Lynch in the house. Get his Hall of Fame ring at halftime. I hope Lynch isn't watching another pathetic defensive display like Buck Nation had to endure on Sunday. Bucks win this game, Steve. 34-17. Bucks. I'm not turning on this franchise. Brady's healthy. Brady comes to the fore in times of need. You don't know what a three-game losing streak looks like. Hasn't had one since the Buck Championship season, 2002. He's not about to start another one now. Bucks win. Bucks win.
Well, Ira, Brady's former left tackle for many years with the Patriots, three-time Pro Bowler Matt Light, he was on the Rich Eisen show this week, and he said, you know, the one thing about Brady, said people wouldn't realize how many games this guy played at 75-80% health. He is that tough, and no one's going to know it except the guys around him. Now, I don't have any explanation other than Brady got hurt on that first shot that he took on the first series. Otherwise, why would he be fearful of going throwing the ball downfield and checking down so much against a weak defense? Nothing else makes any sense when you consider he was only hit once. And even Donovan Smith, speaking this week, said, hey, one hit is a pretty good day, which was almost like a slap back at Arians, who was implying that Brady got roughed up early in that game too much. So I'm not sure if Brady's healthy. I wouldn't put a nickel on it, but I think he's healthy enough to perform, and that's what really counts. And I think he will be super motivated to come back and knock out all the bad vibes that have been swirling around his bad game and the Bucks as well, because they need it. A loss here would be devastating. If there is a must win for the Bucks, in a lot of ways, this might be the first one of the season, because it'll destroy any opportunity they have for the number two seed, in my opinion, if they lose this game, big conference game, and it's just too critical. So I think the Bucks are going to have a Bucks-like game. Offense will do enough, especially with Gronk coming back. They'll do their thing. They'll score 30, and I'm going to give the Giants 21, Ira.
All right, we both have the Bucks going to 7-3.
All right, Lee, your take on the game coming up Monday. Give us your score and one big thing you're looking for.
The score, 30-25 Bucks. I think it's going to be a one-score game. Giants have weapons. They will keep it tight. They will score on the Bucks. Bucks obviously are not full strength in the secondary at cornerback. Daniel Jones has had success every time he's played the Bucks. He's played them twice. This will be third year in a row. He's in the NFL. This is his third season. This will be his third game against the Bucks. We all remember how the Bucks choked against the Giants. Daniel Jones went wild in the second half against the Bucks 2 years ago. Last year, he didn't play that awful. So Daniel Jones, for whatever reason, has shown he can have success against Todd Bowles' defense. He's proven it. Now you take away a couple starters from cornerback, that to me magnifies it even more. So I think the Bucks will win. I think they're going to have their heads screwed on straight. Richard Sherman was talking about that, you know, he thinks this was a wake-up call for the Bucks. He's obviously been on several winning teams, been on three Super Bowl teams. He said, once in a while, you know, you need a bad team to kick you in the rear end to get motivated, to humble. That's the word he used, to humble. You need to be humbled sometimes. He said the Bucks were humbled against Washington. So I think they're going to be, you know, obviously the players are hacked off. Arians is hacked off. I think they're going to be locked in. I think they're going to play better. But I think the Giants are going to scare them once again. I think the Bucks win, but it's going to be a five-point game, 30-25 Bucks.
All right, there you have it, Ira.
You know, I'll end with this, and I'm obsessed with this. I am. The damn Saints are one game behind the Bucks, and they should be three games behind the Bucks. This division should kind of be wrapped up, but it's not. It's not. And I know Carolina's 500, but, Carolina's Carolina. They're going to lose some games they shouldn't. That's a 500 team. And that Saints game, it's one thing to be outplayed like you were in Washington. They handed the Saints that game with a third-string quarterback. Otherwise, the Bucs are 7-2 and flying high, Steve. So that Saints game still pissing me off.
Well, I'll say this about Carolina, Ira. Their next three games, they got Washington at home. Then they head to the Dolphins. Then they got the Falcons after their bye week. So, they very easily, and granted, like you said, they'll probably drop one, but very easily, though, they could be 8-5 and start to build some confidence and get a little scary, and they still got two left with the Bucks. So, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about them because I think they're maybe the only team to be concerned about. Again, hopefully they'll do what they do, which is drop a game they shouldn't, and away go the Bucks. All right, Sage, look, what's the weekend plan since you got Monday night free? This is rare. Are you going to the beach? It's supposed to be a good one, Ira. Are you going to bring a Bromosa out there? Where are you taking your lovely wife to follow up on your St. Thomas adventure?
Stevie, we got some plans. There's a new movie out. Now, you're not going to see it because, you go to see the Marvel Comics movies, Iron Man 9. You got that penciled in for next year, but there's a movie called Belfast. That's right, Steve. It's about what's going on, what went on in Northern Ireland, and we're going out with our friends, and her mother's in town, and she lives in Belfast, and she visits twice a year, stays for a couple of months. We know these people very well. We're going to have dinner, maybe at International Plaza. And then we're going to go to Tampa Theater, Steve. We're going to see it at Tampa Theater.
Wow.
Great venue. Last time I was in Tampa Theater, Steve, was when they showed the documentary on the demise of the Tampa Tribune. It was, and that was quite a turnout, Steve. All the old Tribuneites, of which you know many of them. And I think it was called Stop the Presses. It was beautifully made. That's the last time I was in Tampa Theater. I've seen George Thorogood in Tampa Theater. Seen some shows in there. So we're going to the movies, Steve. Little history. And then you know what? Next week, Stevie, I might go see that movie on Richard Williams. It's called King Richard. That's the father of Venus and Serena Williams. It's supposed to be good. So I'm getting back in movie mode, my man. How do you like that?
All right, Ira, well, you won't get too far into movie mode because you'll be mowing down that press box food on Monday night like nobody's ever seen before, harassing the New York writers, telling them, hey, I was on the beat back in 79 with these Giants, same uniforms, all that stuff that you like to say.
And, Steve, I might be doing a little lobbying for Rondé Barber as a Hall of Famer. If I see some selectors in the press box, maybe I'll get in line early. Get him some Bananas Foster and try to barter some votes over there, Stevie.
And, I'm sure Barbara will be out there, given that it's John Lynch's little ring ceremony.
That's right.
Maybe you could ask him to start lobbying for himself, Ira. He was on with his brother on national radio the other day. Didn't say a word about the Hall of Fame. Didn't even say a word about the Bucks.
Wow. Steve, a couple of things. Next week, the day before Thanksgiving, they're going to announce the 25 semifinalists. I don't think there's a lot of mystery that Rondé will be one of the 25 semifinalists. Simeon has been. Some years he is, some years he isn't. So we'll see if Simeon makes that cut. And then, Steve, the Hall of Fame selection meeting, as you predicted, will be conducted by Zoom, and it's really early, January 18th. It's like a month before the Super Bowl. It's usually the day before the Super Bowl. So the votes are going to be in on January 18th. I'm not sure we're going to know when that Zoom meeting ends who the final five are, but that's the day of the meeting, January 18th, and it's going to be done by Zoom.
All right, Sage, good to know the dates, and hopefully Simeon Rice will get in there for that semifinals. Then you're going to have to make a decision, Ira, who you're going to lobby for harder. might be a little challenging. You might get that phone call from the Glazers. Maybe they'll outvote you and say, hey, we need a Simeon in there. He's making a movie about phony vaccine cards, and we gotta keep him away from us.
Well, Steve, you got to remember, the semifinalist is the group of 25, and then there's one more cut, and you got to make the 15. Simeon has never made the 15, so I've never made the speech for Simeon Rice. Right now, I'm preparing for Rondé Barber. Got some quotes from Tony Romo a couple weeks ago. I'll try to get some more Monday night. Steve, I'll leave you with this. You know, I got a guy on my mind. You always want to get a guy to game plan for your candidate. And I'm going to try to get Andy Reid. Steve, Rondé Barber broke Andy Reid's heart that day that they closed down the vet. And I think if I get Andy Reid on the phone, he knows me. I think I can get a hell of a quote from Andy Reid on what makes Rondé Barber a Hall of Famer. I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds good, Ira. Get him on the phone. All right, we will see you after the game, Sage.